800-288-9227. Welcome and good morning. Did I say it that's the law?
It is, and you did.
Okay, twice.
Why not?
I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Hartley.
Well, Trooper Monty Dial, retired of the Texas Highway Patrol, is here courtesy of Old Blue USA. You can go to askthelaw.org anytime and submit your questions there. Just click on that red button. They'll do their best to get your question back in a timely fashion. And, by the way, we need to let you know that this is Ask the Law for May 4th, 2009. All the information can change without notice. They are up to date as of this morning. If you want to get on board, 800-288-9227, regulatory items and more. If you want to talk hours of service, we'd love to hear from you at 800-288-9227. Send us a text at 68683. MRN is the first word, and we're going to get to a text in just a moment. But we had a really interesting text. That, by the way, looks very nice. He's wearing a collar.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. We're going to have to put Gary on a leash. We had a call before the break, and the break, it sounded like our caller was going through a level one inspection recently.
Yes.
And the trooper cited him for having loose steering. He said, well, don't I have to have the engine on? He said, no. What can be done about this if this caller wants to challenge this? What do they do here if they've been cited for loose steering, but they believe that wasn't the case, or at least that the level one inspection wasn't done properly?
Well, if the vehicle was placed out of service, and they checked the out of service criteria and it exceeded the slack movement in the steering,
mm-hmm.
then what they can do is go onto the FMCSA's website and do what is called a data cue challenge. And what they want to do is their response is they want to challenge inspection item 8A. And in item 8A, it says for power steering systems, engine must be running.
Mm-hmm.
And so what he'll do is you'll put that in as your challenge for this out of service and make a note that the inspection was done
mm-hmm.
of the steering system without the engine running.
Okay. All right.
Now, if it was just, if the driver was just simply issued a violation notice,
right,
then here again, you can challenge it. But make sure you go look up 393-209, and it's got a chart in there. If the steering wheel is a certain size, you can only have so much play in it.
Mm-hmm.
But check and make sure that it doesn't exceed the limits for it. But if it was placed out of service, then definitely do the data cue. And your point of challenge is the engine was not running as required in inspection item 8A.
Okay. All right, and hopefully that will help you out. Ask the Law, 800-288-9227, if you want to get on board. The CDSA is holding Road Check 2009. They do a good job at publicizing this, essentially because they want these carriers, both the independents and the big companies, to know. They want them, essentially, to get all their ducks in a row and get all their equipment cleaned up and repaired before this happens. There's a reason why they publicize Road Check every year.
Yes.
And it's essentially a warning. It's kind of a, okay, we're going to be out there, and if you don't get it done between now and first week of June, then you just may be in trouble. And as you mentioned last hour, you can pretty much say this with great certainty that if you're placarded, if you're hauling hazmat, you're going to get inspected during road check.
Yes.
All right. So they have been doing this for quite some time, but not just in the States. This is Canada. Is it also in Mexico?
Mexico, United States, and Canada.
All right.
All three participate in the road check.
Yeah. What kind of cooperation or I guess maybe information exchange is there between states? I know that Oregon had some items for Road Check 2008 that came out last year, also some items that they did a good job at publicizing, essentially the results, what they found, what was going on. Is it do you guys in different states, and you know a lot of the troopers from different states, is there an official exchange of information in order to kind of benefit from what's going on from, you know, different states?
Well, what a lot of the states will do is, like in Texas, our DPS PIO, which is the Public Information Office, they will do a broad, or, you know, they'll put out a news brief.
Right.
That says, as a result of Texas participation in Road Check 2009, this is what we had. This is the number of inspections that we did. This is the number of vehicles, number of drivers that we put out of service. And these were the violations that we found.
Right.
So, and then all of this data goes to Washington. And then FMCSA will in turn come out and do a statewide or a nationwide publication that says during the periods of the first week in June, this was how many inspections we did. This was the number of violations that we, you know, number of vehicles put out of service, drivers put out of service, and this is a breakdown of the violations we found.
Mm-hmm. Really interesting scenario over the last several years, how it has become more and more well known. Are the numbers necessarily improving, or at least from, obviously it's anecdotal evidence based on just your experience here, but do we happen to know that numbers are improving with these inspections or not?
Yes, and a way to judge that is, once a year, FMCSA puts out the what they call the national average.
Okay.
If you were to pull up a carrier and you wanted to take and look at their SafeStat rating,
mm-hmm.
it will give you a score of what that carrier is. Then right underneath it, it'll give you the national average. So that way a trucking company can compare their numbers against the national average.
Interesting.
For, you know, all, you know, for whether it be driver, whether it be vehicle, or an accident, even breaks it down to specific items within vehicle and driver.
Is that national average reset each year specifically
yes.
from Road Check?
Road Check plays a lot into it.
It has heavy weight in it.
Right.
Determination. Okay. All right. Get on board at 800-288-9227 if you have an hours of service question, any other regulatory items. We would love to hear from you. We did get a text at 68683. You can send us a text, 68683. Put MRN as the first word. Here's the question. In a dedicated run situation, if I finished my run for the day, can my company make me turn in my log before midnight of the same day?
Well, if that's the end of your run and you're not going to be redispatched, and here again, we go back and to the LTO carriers, they run from point A to point B. When he gets to B, he's off duty until he comes back and runs back to point A.
Hmm.
His day is finished. He can go ahead and turn his log in.
Let's say he goes back out at 1 a.m. His run begins at 1 a.m. and he's going to go back out on that dedicated run. He's turned that log in. He's going to have on board, what is it, 7 or 8 prior days of
right.
that log available to him. He needs
right.
that in case he gets pulled over to show.
Right. He will. What they're wanting to do is they're wanting him to turn in the original copy.
Okay.
The driver keeps the carbon copy of it.
Okay.
So he's always going to have in his possession a log.
The carbon.
The carbon copy
right.
will always be with him.
Yeah.
But once he finishes his run for that day, yeah, he can tear it out, turn it in, because he's not going to be redispatched until the next 24-hour cycle starts.
All right. I got a couple of questions coming in here in just a few minutes by phone. If you want to text us at 68683, put MRN as the first word, and we will get that question on the air for you as soon as possible. All right. Ben, Fred, and more, stand by as Ask the Law continues next.
On the Midnight Radio Network. Midnight Radio Network. Network and Ask the Law, 800-288-9227, or text us 68683. MRN is the first word in the first line. Gary and Eric.
And Senior Trooper Monty Dial, retired from the Texas Highway Patrol, is here, courtesy of Old Blue USA. AskTheLaw.org is the website. All information up to date as of May 4, 2009 can change without notice. Let's get back to your calls at 800-288-9227.
Let's go to Fred in Michigan. Fred, hi, you're on the Midnight Radio Network. Welcome. Hi. You're on that.
All right, fellas. Just got a question about electronic logging. Where do you see it going? And a follow-up question with split sleeper berth, if you got time for it.
Okay. A lot of it is going to depend on what the current administration wants to do. As of yet, we don't have a secretary for the FMCSA. A lot of it's going to depend on who they appoint. And I know the National Traffic Safety Board has had a recommendation that they've put out for years and years and years that they're trying to get FMCSA to go to onboard recorders. A lot of it is just going to depend on where they go and who gets in there.
Fred, from the carrier side, I think you're going to see a lot of participation in that program. There's going to be a couple of schools of thought there that lead to that. I think you're going to have large carriers that want to, because when there was when the idea was floated a couple of years ago, what it entailed is the idea was that if you were to voluntarily put electronic onboard recorders on the truck and they were GPS equipped, then you would get certain consideration during inspections. And so I feel like a lot of these companies will want that extra consideration and will likely want to keep track of their vehicles anyway. There are some of them are already headed. I mean, we think of the Werners and other companies that have already moved forward with electronic logs. I think it's just going to be a natural for a lot of the large companies to participate in that. I think it's also going to be, and if you look at the fact that such a high percentage of these vehicles already have things like governors on, 75% of the commercial vehicles on the road, we're told, have governors on their trucks. There is this acceptance, essentially, by these larger carriers to move toward that new technology. If it's available, they want to use it to satisfy their bean counters on their end. So I can see, from that perspective, I can see a lot of the carriers moving there.
I understand. I appreciate that explanation and the follow-up question on the split sleeper berth. Why do so many people, their drivers, our company discourages against using it, but a lot of our runs are 6, 7, 7.5, sometimes 8 hours away. But it seems to be very complicated for a lot of drivers to figure out, and I just wonder if there's a simple explanation for it, and I'll hang up and listen to your response on the radio. I appreciate
All right.
it.
Thank you, Fred. We do appreciate the call.
Fred, you hit it on the head, the nail on the head. It is something that is hard for the driver to understand, and that is why a lot of carriers discourage drivers from using the split sleeper berth. If anyone, and it's not just Fred, if anybody can take and understand the way the system works, it's easy to understand. You can sit there and in the example Fred used where they drive 6, 7 hours, then they can stop and take a break. If they can get eight, and of course, one thing they have to understand is one of the breaks requires to be 8 hours, and the 8 hours has to be in the sleeper berth.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be doing other things.
You can't log it just 8 hours off duty.
No, because if you start trying to log things off duty, now then that counts against your 14-hour clock. It has to be logged 8 hours in the sleeper berth. Then once you come out of the sleeper berth, you've got however many hours you up to 11 before you have to take the second break.
Right.
The second break can be either off-duty, sleeper berth, or a combination of the two. That's going to count against your 14. Then you can, once you've completed that break, then you go back and you start driving again. And here again, from the 8-hour break to your next 8-hour break, cannot be more than 11 hours driving, nor can it be more than 14 hours total duty time.
Okay.
So if a driver can understand, you know, it's for me, it sounds simple.
Mm-hmm.
For a truck driver, it sounds Greek.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can understand how the system works, I don't see a reason why you cannot use it.
Yeah.
You've got to understand it.
I would have to. I just think it's so, the just thinking about it makes me tired of using, you know, a full 11 hours behind the wheel without taking a break. That 2 hours I think would be just so beneficial, for a good, whether you're just stopping and resting and laying down and shutting your eyes or you're actually taking a nap, I think there's a great benefit to using that to your advantage. We'll talk more with Trooper Monty Dial. We have more calls coming in and another question about electronic logs and what troopers need to see on the side of the road via text in just a moment on the Midnight Radio Network. Stand by.
800-288-9227. It's Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law, 800-288-9227, or text us 68683. Put MRN as the first word in the first line. Gary McNamara with Eric Harley.
Senior Trooper Monty Dial, retired of the Texas Highway Patrol, is here courtesy of Old Blue USA. AskTheLaw.org is the website. In fact, here in a couple of weeks, you guys are going to have a new logbook presentation there at AskTheLaw.org, according to R.J. Taylor.
Yes, out at... I don't know what they call it anymore.
Great West Truck Show.
Great West Truck Show.
I knew exactly which one you were thinking of. Yeah, used to be the International Truck Show, and then it was
the Las Vegas Truck Show.
Now it's the Great West Truck Show.
Right. Yes, we will be presenting our new logbook presentation out there.
Yeah.
So if drivers are in that area, come on by and see us and sit down, and we'll show you what the presentation is.
Awesome. 800-288-9227 if you want to get through. There is a text that we got. Oh, 68683 if you want to text us. Put MRN as the first word. Alright, this guy's company recently went to electronic logs, and what do troopers need to see during an inspection as far as electronic logs are concerned?
A lot of it is going to depend on the device that they are using. Currently in 395, 13 is where it has the instructions on what all the driver has to do. He has to be able to take and show us how it works. He has to be able to take and go back and show us what line he's on. Then we basically can go back and review 7 days worth of logs.
Right.
Of, you know, actually watching the driver recall his log and show it to us.
There's been some question about the cooperation of a driver between a driver and a trooper that's doing a roadside inspection. If they have an electronic log and there is no paper to see whatsoever, then that trooper has every right to get up inside that cab and look at that electronic log, do they not?
Well, if you go in and look at the out-of-service criteria, part of that requirement is the driver has to have paperwork to show how it works. If the driver refuses to show the trooper how it works,
right,
then the driver's out of service for 10 hours for no logbook.
Wow.
So it would behoove the driver to sit there and know how to recall the data, and if the trooper asks to see the data, show the data to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't, he's going to shut you down for 10 hours.
Well, and that's the problem that you're going to run into. It's best not to try, have your court right there on the side of the road. If you have a concern, then deal with it later. But
sure.
Cooperate on the side of the road.
Sure.
800-288-9227, another text question in just a moment. Let's get back to your phone calls.
Let's go to Ben. Ben, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Ask the Law. Hi, Ben.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
Hey, I drive here locally in the Metroplex, and two or three months ago I received a ticket for doing 28 in the school zone.
Hmm.
So when I went to court, said case, I pointed out three things on the ticket that the officer had got incorrect. So he dismissed the ticket, but he said they may reissue the ticket after looking at it. Hmm. And sure enough, they have. And I was just curious why they get a do-over.
Well, first off, Ben, the information on the citation is just information that the court needs and information for the officer to refresh his memory. Most courts will not dismiss the citation based upon information that is wrong on the citation.
Mm.
What they will do is they require, most courts will require the officer to file a complaint. And in the complaint is where the alleged violation takes place.
Okay.
That's where you can look at the actual complaint that was filed. And if there are errors on the complaint, then yes, the ticket can be dismissed.
Okay. Well, that leads to the second part. The ticket was for 28 in a school zone, which had a light and had the stripping on the road.
Okay.
But the road, the stripping on the road was about 1 foot in length across two lanes. It was a four-lane road, and the stripping was completely wore out. And I do not understand how the officer could tell where the truck's location was or when I entered the school zone from where he was with his laser.
What I would do, Ben, is go back to that city where the where you got the citation, because most of that is going to be under a city ordinance. Look and see what the city ordinance requires. Does it require the stripe to be all the way across all lanes? Or is it where the actual yellow blinking light is?
Right.
That's where, you know, if there are certain parts of it that you wish to contest, go see what the actual city ordinance has, and that's where you need to attack it.
Okay. Now, when the officer looks through his laser and points it at my vehicle and it hits the license plate and reflects the laser back, or how does he know where that vehicle is in court? Like, say, you know, the line's missing. How does he actually know where I'm at?
Because most of them, all lasers that I know have a distance. It will actually print the speed, and it will give them a distance to that vehicle when they checked it. So what they can do is he can go back however many feet or yards from where he was standing, and you know, it may be a deal. And let me get off on something here on the side, and then I'll get back to yours.
Okay.
They actually use laser, we call them LIDARs. They actually use those for accident reconstruction, because I can stand at one point, shoot at an object, and it will tell me the distance. So they actually use it to gauge as a measuring tool when they do accident reconstruction. So that would be the deal with him. He may know so many yard, you know, so many feet, so many yards back to this sign is where he wants to take and start pulling the trigger on it. So you could be coming down the road. He may clock you prior to you actually entering the zone, and he can keep pulling that trigger until he gets a distance measuring that says, okay, now you're in the school zone and you're mine.
Right. Okay, well, I'll find out Wednesday.
All right. Well, good luck. Thank you so much. We do appreciate the call. 800-288-9227.
Let's go to Monty in Hannibal, Missouri. Monty, hi. You're on Ask the Law with Monty.
How you doing?
Good. Great.
I got a ticket back last September driving down the interstate in Minnesota. I don't run a CV in the truck. I can really care less what anybody's got to say on the radio. And I see four trucks pull over alongside the interstate ahead of me, so I figured, you know, I followed suit. The next thing I know, there's a trooper standing on my truck, and he says, DOT set up an arrest area. And I had no idea, you know. And so he says, basically, after checking my logbook and so on and so forth, he's going to write me a non-emergency parking ticket. So he writes the statute down on the ticket and then the description of what the offense was. 6 months goes by, I go to apply for another job, and my NVR comes up, failure to obey a sign.
Hmm.
Now, I, of course, you know, called the state. The state told me I had to go to the clerk of court. The clerk of court told me I had to go to the prosecuting attorney. And I did this little merry-go-round thing. And I'm just kind of curious, is what takes precedent on that citation, the statute number or the description of the offense?
Well, first off, Monty, you would need to know what the actual statute number is.
It was like 167 something.
Okay, but what I'm saying is you need to go back to the state of Minnesota and find out what Minnesota statute for that number is. A lot of them will have signs along the interstate that says, you know, parking on the shoulder, you know, is for emergency use only.
Right. Right.
And
well,
so,
basically, what I got from the clerk of court's office was the statute is wide and gray.
Okay.
That's what they told me. And, you know, I mean, it basically DQ'd me from, you know, because failure to obey a sign is almost like a semaphore, you know, and I didn't get the job I was applying for, which, you know, and then after I paid the ticket, you know, I figured I was paying a non-emergency parking ticket, mm-hmm. and now they're telling me there's no way for me to go back and try to correct it or fight it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and here again, you know, he may have told you, yeah, you're being issued a citation because, you know, parking on the shoulder. But
right.
the actual statute is disobeying a traffic order or disobeying a sign because the sign says you can only stop here on the shoulder for emergencies.
Hmm. All right. Well, I was just kind of curious as to what took, you know, the statute or the actual, because he wrote on there non-emergency parking.
Right.
And, you know, with the statute basically, you know, it basically makes it look like I blew a stop sign of some sort, you know. According to, you know, when you run my MVR, and I was a little taken back when I first found out, you know, and then try to go back and try to correct it 6 months later. It was like a futile effort.
Hmm.
So I was just kind of curious as to what, you know, just, so I take it the statute is what takes the, you know, supersedes what the description of the offense is.
Yes. Well, and here again, you know, it's like a lot of times when we do, you know, when we actually do the roadside inspections, there will be one single description for that violation, but then there's a place for us to write some stuff out to the side of it.
Hmm.
So, you know, we just write stuff down that will refresh our memory
right.
when we come up to court.
Notes. Okay. Coming back in just a few minutes with Ask the Law, Trooper Monty Dial, retired of the Texas Highway Patrol, and we'll try and get as many questions answered before our time runs out. But don't forget, you can go to askthelaw.org anytime, submit a question there, click on the red button, and then submit that question. They'll get back to you as soon as possible with the answer. And you can be here the first Monday of every single month as Trooper Dial is in studio live. Back in just a moment for Ask the Law
on the Midnight Radio Network. It's Midnight Radio Network. Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
All right, Trooper Monty Dial, retired from the Texas Highway Patrol for Ask the Law as we wrap it up for this month. By the way, information and answers that you heard on this program this morning are up to date as of May 4th, 2009. Go to askthelaw.org and they can get you answers anytime. They will get back to you as soon as possible. AskTheLaw.org. Also, next month, again, will be our Ask the Law segment will be the day before the CBSA Road Check 2009 program begins. So we'll talk with Monty about that and find out what to expect for that and more. And anytime that you have a question, jot it down. Go to AskTheLaw.org. Or you can save it for our monthly program. Is there anything, we only have a few seconds, is there anything a driver can do? We got a text earlier. If the company is pushing him to bend or break those hours of service rules, can he report them? Can the drivers report those companies?
Yes, they can contact the Department of Labor in their state.
Okay, call the Department of Labor.
The Department of Labor, and talk with them, and they are interested in are following up on a lot of complaints on that.
All right. Awesome. Great job, Trooper Dial. Thank you so much. We do appreciate your time. It is Ask the Law
on the Midnight Radio Network. Hello.